Could we turn in the Word of God, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 26 to the end of verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to read from 26 to the end of verse 30. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy fathers all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at mine offering which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, of my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of my father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, Be it far from me, for them that honor me, they shall. For those that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Amen. And we know God will add a blessing to this reading from His holy and His precious word. We just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence thus far in the meeting. Now, Lord, as I come to handle the word, hide me behind the cross. Lord, may none be seen save Jesus only. Lord, you know my heart. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. Father, take this nobody, take this nothing, and use him for your honor and for your glory. Master, you must increase, I must decrease. Right now, Lord, help me to uplift and glorify the high and the holy name of Jesus, Lord, that you alone would have all the praise, the honor and the glory. Fill me with your power. Bring every thought into remembrance. And I pray that you will bless us around your feet this morning in the Savior's worthy and all precious name. You look at the verse 26 and verse 27. We see here a man called Eli. When you look at the history of Eli, you can see what a great man of God he was. He sacrificed the sacrifices upon the altar. And he sacrificed and shed the blood of the male of animals to cleanse away the sins of the people. And here was a man walking with the Lord in the light of his word. And my, what a glory God shed in his way. What great things he did for God. If ever a man in the word of God walked close to the Lord, it was this man Eli. But then God sent a man unto Eli. And as you get down to verse 29, this man said to Eli, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offerings, which I have commanded in thy habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." And when you look at Eli at this stage in his life, he got far away from God. And this man, Eli, that put God in front of everything, the only thing mattered to Eli was God. But God sent a messenger unto him and says, "Eli, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and my offerings which I have commanded thy habitation, and honorest thy sons above me?" Look at the man of God now. He put his sons above God and above everything else. And then God's servant rebuked him. And he says, "To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Instead of God's servant Eli still serving the living and the true God, still sacrificing to cleanse away the sins of the people, now he's eating off the sacrifice, getting fat in the food that he should have given to sacrifice to cleanse away the sins of the people. Then this messenger in verse 30, the latter part of it, had a challenge to Eli. And it said, "Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." And child of God, here is a challenge for you and for me in God's house this morning. And God says to you and me, whatever you do for me in honoring God, you can make a difference. Your stand for God, your work for God, your living for God, we can make a difference if we honor God and do His will. Many of yous obviously come out of your homes this morning, your Bible maybe in your hand, and you got yourself and your wife and maybe your children into the car to come to the house of God, and you probably thought, well, nobody noticed or nobody cares and all the rest of it. Some time ago, my wife was at the shop with my wee granddaughter Faith, and this woman stopped her and she says, "I remember when you lived in the flat. You took your children to church, and I knew you were saved. I knew you were Christians, and I longed to be saved, and I was under conviction of sin. We knew nothing about it." And she says, "As you came in on the Lord's Day evening, I used to watch for your living room light going on, because I knew that Jesus hadn't come back again. And we knew nothing about it. We thought nothing about it. It was just another day. Another Lord's Day, going to the house of the Lord to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And yet even you, going to the house of God, can speak to people that you might even think." And praise God, that woman did get saved. And she's gone on with God. And we rejoice and praise God for that. You know, you can't get your families into God's house as much as you've asked them. And they won't pray, they won't read the scriptures. But child of God, the ungodly, even in our families, even among our neighbors, they read your life and they read my life. And as I go about from day to day among my family, among my friends, am I honoring God enough to show forth the Lord in my life? As my family gaze on me, as your family gaze on you, can they see in our lives that we are honoring God, that we are walking with the Lord in the light of His Word, and what a glory He sheds on our way? And at times things come into our lives, and although it's hard, we have to honor God. I remember years ago, I used to be an Ulster bus driver, and the men knew I was a Christian, the men knew I was saved. And I remember at times they would say, "Sammy, listen, we're going to the pub tonight, do you want to come?" I said, no, I'll not bother. "But listen, you don't have to take a drink, all you have to do is take a Coke." And you know, that was the devil trying to get me to dishonor God. And just politely, I just says, "No thanks, I'll not be going." You know, I could have took the shortcut. "Ah, it's only for an hour. I'll have a Coke with these fellas and work." But no, that's not what God wanted me to do. And sometimes, believer, child of God, things come into our lives. The devil tries to trip us up, try us to dishonor God, not to honor Him. Try to get you to compromise that wee bit. The devil says, "Sure, what does it matter? It's only for a short time." But as you search the scriptures, we want to look at two men in God's Word. The pressure was on them to dishonor God. You know the story in Daniel chapter 6. King Darius made a decree that if any man made prayer to any god for 30 days, he would be cast into the den of lions. God's servant, Daniel, this great man of God, this man that had done great exploits for God, what did the man of God do? He opened the windows of his room and he prayed unto God 3 times a day. And he went on day after day, 3 times, wrestling with God around the throne of grace and prayer. He knew he was serving the living and the true God. The heathen were serving idols, and he knew he had to win this people for God. And he prayed, and he prayed audibly that everybody could hear him, because he was willing to go through with God, his vows to pay. His life upon the altar lay. The message got back to Darius. "Did you not say that nobody was to pray to any god for 30 days? Daniel, He's disobeying you, King. He's praying and praying, and he won't stop praying unto his God. And the decree went out, put him into the den of lions. They took Daniel and they put him into the den of lions. And you know the story. In seconds he should have been shred to pieces and killed. But he honored God. And God shut the lion's mouth. And we read that Daniel fell asleep in the den of lions. And the next day, they took him out. And you see, through the faithfulness of Daniel, through taking his stand for God, he won a king. He won the heathen nation to the Lord. It would have been so easy for Daniel to say, well, listen, it's only for 30 days. I'll pray silently in a wee corner of my own and nobody will do anything about it or know anything about it. But through the faithfulness of Daniel, taking a stand for God, he won a king and he won a nation to serving the living and the true God. You know, it's not easy at times when the pressure's on. Maybe in work, maybe among your family. And they try to get you to compromise or do that which is not right, and you know it's not right. And at times in your home, maybe in your workplace, maybe among your family, you have to take your stand for God. This man of God, Daniel, he honored the Lord. And God blessed him. And God took him up. And God used him for taking his stand for him. The hardest thing to do at times is take your stand for God and honor him. But he's promised in his word, for them that honor me, I will honor. Times people get you to do things you don't want to do, and you're scared of hurting them. We've all been in that situation. But you're better to go through with God and do his blessed will. Then Daniel chapter 3. We'll read of three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What we got to remember is that these men were mighty men of God, men that served the living and the true God. King Nebuchadnezzar set up an image of gold. And he says, at the time you hear the music, everyone had to bow down to the image of gold. If you do not bow down to that image of gold, you'll be cast into the burning fiery furnace. That's some challenge for men of God. And they raised up the golden image, the golden idol. And everybody at the sound of the music had to bow down and worship and obey obeisance unto this idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were men of God who walked with the Lord in the light of his word. And they knew, we cannot do this. We have to honor God, and if we honor Him, He will honor us. And while the whole country, the whole nation was bowing down before this idol, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still worship the living and the true God. And then the word got back to King Nebuchadnezzar. Did not you make a decree that nobody was to bow down to any idol? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King, they refused to do it. And he sent the decree out. Heat the furnace until it's 7 times more than it want to be. And those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over to the burning fiery furnace, the flame took them away. And you see, whenever people put their hand on a child of God, God deals with them. You see, whenever somebody puts their hand on a Christian, they're touching God Himself. Remember that day and hour God saved you. What is His promise to you? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck us out of His hand. And you see, that day and hour God saved you, young or old, in this meeting tonight. God took His big hand of omnipotence and He put it into your hand. And He says, child of God, I lead you till you get home on the other side, until you go through the gates of the new Jerusalem, singing, washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a price to pay for the ungodly when they put their hands upon a child of God. But eventually, to put Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego down into the burning fiery furnace. And you know, as you read the scriptures, look, you need to look it up. I'll do it for you. Daniel 3 and verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And this is the king. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he was troubled at his very soul, and he went to the edge of the burning fiery furnace, and he saw 4 men walking in the midst of the flame. What was his testimony? And the 4th is like unto the Son of Man. Do you see in that burning fiery furnace, the Lord Jesus Christ was right down into the midst of the flame with them. And what I find astonishing here, that they were walking in the midst of the flame. No matter what men and women do to you, should it be verbally or any other way, let me tell you, in the midst of the flame, in the midst of the fire, God will be with you every step of the way. Times you have to take your stand for God. But you know, God will never forsake his people. He says in his word, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they'll not be burned, and neither shall the water overflow thee." No matter what tribulation, no matter what battle in life you go through, God will be with you every step of the way. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And God will never forsake his people. In the deepest of conflict or trial. Have you ever thought of the Covenanters and the martyrs and all the men years ago who took their stand against Rome and against idolatry and against the wickedness of this old world? And they were put into prison, and they knew that they were going to be burned at the stake. And they took them out of the prison, and there they tied them to the stake, and they set the flames under them. Can you picture what was going through their minds? But they trusted God, and through their faithfulness, God moved in a mighty way and sent revival throughout the length and breadth of England and Scotland and Wales. Those that honour me, I will honour. If God spares me to the 14th of August, just a couple of weeks away, I'll be 51 years saved. And in all those years I've been going to the Free Presbyterian Church, and there's others here, gone further back than that. I remember those early days taking your stand for Jesus. You were hated of all men. You could hear the expression, "Nobody loves us," and that was the situation. But we had men and women of God that prayed, that agonized with God right across our land. Men and women got together and prayed. I think of the old Ravenhill Presbyterian Church, the wee kitchen there, the wee prayer room as they called it. And people came in and packed it. It wasn't hard to pack, and they prayed. And they went out, and others came in. That's the way it went. And how God moved. And how God worked in a mighty way. These people of God, they hadn't much, but they honored God. And how God honored them. And through the faithfulness of these men and women of God that took their stand for God, that is what made the Free Presbyterian Church what it is today. Because men and women were despised, hated above all people. The lies that were told against us in those days, the television, the radio, the newspapers. If ever a people were despised in those days, it was the Free Presbyterian Church. Then God started to move, and many of our ministers Wherever they preached the word, God started to move and work in a mighty way. And it's all of God. It's nothing to do with man. I would fail God if I failed to give him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. When we look around at the Free Presbyterian Church, we can lift our Ebenezer to the Lord and say, hitherto did the Lord help us. Child of God, over these next days, whatever trial you go through, whatever battle you go through, let me tell you, the Lord will bring you through in the victory side. What has he promised in his word? Those that honor me, I will honor. But the Lord bless these few wee thoughts for his honor and for his glory.